So let's wrap up what we were talking about yesterday. The Machlokas Rishonim, what is the Azhara for Ben Sora Mora? So we saw the Rambam. Did we see the Rambam inside? I don't know if we're going to speak it out inside today, just in the interest of time. But we got a chance to see three basic Shitos in Rishonim. We had the Shitas HaRambam, who seems to go with the Pashup Shad in the Gemara. Pashup Shad in the Gemara is that it's from the Pasuk of Lo Sochlu Al Adam. That's the Azhara for Ben Sora Mora. And since it says Lo Sochlu Al Adam, you know that you can get Malkus, and you can get and you can get Misa. And the Rambam has an interesting lashon that he starts off with in terms of, well, since we see that you get punished and you get Misa for it, so we have to look for an Azhara. It's interesting. I'm not sure exactly what to make out of that particular lashon of the Rambam, but you know, it's noteworthy that that's the way he seems to phrase it. He starts off, he says, we have the end point, we just don't know how we got to the end. So then it's our job to sort of look for the way that we got to that point, which is, you know, based on the klal, as we said yesterday, and yesterday we tried to explain the yisod, perhaps based on a very, I guess what you call a very balabatish svara, that the whole ein onshin elim kein mashirin means that a person, in order to be punished, has to have a very clear-cut understanding of what's ahead of him, right? It's, I guess a similar concept would be what we find, there's a klal the Gemara has in a few places of mitzvah sase shematan schar ksuva betzeda. Anybody ever heard of such a thing? Or betzeda, right? A mitzvah sase that it says in the Torah. So in the Torah, what the schar is. So it says the halacha is that normally we have a rule. Let's say a person doesn't want to do a mitzvah sase, what do you do to him? You kofen also. Similar to what the Rambam says by the famous Rambam Hilchos Gerushin, right? You basically give him makas mardus until he agrees to do the mitzvah. Right? He could have just kept it on the down low and said, you know, He could have just not gone to shul that day. You always wonder how, like, they figured out you didn't want to do the mitzvah sase. Right? I always wonder what the mitzias behind that was. Like, how did I know this guy didn't want to take a lulav today? Like, he could have just stayed home and we would have assumed he went to the other minyan. You know, but the guy stands up in the middle of shul and says, all of you fools, you're being mekayim mitzvah sase. I am not interested in doing this mitzvah. So the Beis Din takes him and they give him makas mardus until he finally does it. They force him. But the rule is, if there is a mitzvah sase that the matan schar is written in the Torah, Beis Din doesn't have the right to force him to do the mitzvah. So the simple explanation of that is the same as this, right? That the Torah doesn't tell you what the reward for all mitzvahs is, and therefore we have to offer up our own brand of reward, right? Since the guy doesn't have a full knowledge of what's so great about doing this mitzvah, because the Torah doesn't tell him what's so great about doing this mitzvah. The Torah just tells him that you have to do it. So we want to make it very, very. We want to motivate him to do the mitzvah by beating him up until he agrees to do it. So that's our way of sort of showing him the upside of doing this mitzvah. Mashenkein, if the Torah already said, like by Kibud Av Va'em, the Torah says, Leman Yarichun Yamecha, you're going to live a long life if you honor your parents. So Beis Din is not permitted to force him to do the mitzvah because he already saw what the Torah had to say about it, and he said, thanks but no thanks. I'm not interested in having Arichas Yamim. I'll have a nice short life of not honoring my parents, rather a long life of honoring my parents. Right? That's the standard explanation for that yisod. And perhaps that's the standard explanation for the yisod of Lav Shebechlalos Ein Lokin Olav. Right? Why do you not get Malkus for Lav Shebechlalos? Same reason. In order, the concept of Ein Onshin, Ela Im Kein Masirin, means it has to be very clear in order that you get an onish for it. So if it's a Lav Shebechlalos, it's not so clear. So the Rambam says, that's only true when... Right, when it doesn't say elsewhere in the Torah exactly what you're going to get. Here you have a second pasuk of Yisro, so that he's going to get Malkus if he eats the Achila Rishona and after he steals from his parents. So therefore we assume that the guy knows what he's in for and we can give him Malkus based on a Lav Shebechlalos. Sorry, we explained all that yesterday. However, we found in the Sefer Yerayim that he wants to perhaps be tola the Azhara on something totally different, on which Isser in the Torah? Chukos HaGoyim. Right, Chukos HaGoyim. Right, in general, you guys are aware of what Chukos HaGoyim generally entails? Right, what would be an example of Chukos HaGoyim? What?
Graduation gown.
Halloween. No, I don't mean Lamaisa. I mean categories of I don't mean your favorite pet peeve. Right. So the standard explanation in the Shulchan Aruch is based on the Maharik. There's a Shalos and Tshuvas Maharik where he discusses at length the topic of the Maharik's Tshuva is the medieval version of doctor's coats. Right, doctors used to wear special garb. Nowadays, all doctors, let's pretend for argument's sake, doctors all wore white coats, and nobody else wore a white coat. Right? So would it be permissible to wear this malbush, even though we're clearly copying it from the non-Jews? Right? So would it be okay to do that? So the Maharik has a lengthy tshuva where he discusses what's the reason for Chukos HaGoyim, and he says that the main reason is that you're not supposed to be copying non-Jews. That's category A. You're not supposed to be copying non-Jews. And category B is minhagi pritzus of non-Jews. Those are the two basic categories that the Maharik lays out of Chukos HaGoyim. And that's generally Paskin and the Ramah and Shulchan Aruch. The Ran has a little bit of a different reason. So based on this, they both aser, we call minhagim she'en bohem tam. If there's a minig, a practice that you're doing that has absolutely no reason behind it, so the Maharik is mashma a little bit different than the Ran. The Ran is mashma, or not mashma, he actually spells out that the reason not to observe a minig that has no reason behind it is that most likely if everyone's doing this nonsensical thing, it's because why? It's based in Avodah Zarah on some level, right? It's based in Avodah Zarah on some level, right? Why on earth would crossing your fingers have anything to do with anything? Right? Because it's based on Christianity. It's based on the cross, right? Knocking on wood, it really refers to something touching the cross, you know, for a sort of a Bli Ayin Hara thing that Christians do when they knock on wood. So you know, also many things like that these minhagi shtus that the non-Jews do, they don't even remember themselves that it's based in their Avodah Zarahs, but it is. So if you see a minhag, Shein Bo Tam, you have to ask yourself, why on earth would people be doing this? Pashta says it's based somewhat in Avodah Zarah. Right, so that's the Ran's approach, and the Maharik's approach, I don't believe, is the same thing. The Maharik's approach of Minik She'en Bo Tam is simply that the Isser is to copy things and do them only because you saw the non-Jews doing them. Right, so the Isser of wearing the lab coat, the Maharik Paskins, I'm not wearing the lab coat because I saw this non-Jew wearing the lab coat. I'm wearing the lab coat in order to show everybody that I'm a doctor. So that's a reason enough to be matir wearing the lab coat. It's not pritzus in any way. It's not an immodest coat. It's not an immodest garb, and it's and I'm wearing it for a reason, so that people will know who the doctors are and who they aren't. So my mother can say that her son the doctor, right? So Lamaisa, he's matir in those situations. That's a standard. So that's a standard interpretation of Chukos HaGoyim, right? And so this would fit into the second category of Zolel v'Sovei. It would be the Minhagi Pritzus of the non-Jews that they eat in such a fashion which is counter, which is counter to the way Torah wants a Jew to behave, right? It's a famous tshuva from Rav Moshe about modern day styles. Right? Is it permissible for the European Jews who came over to America to dress wearing American suits and instead of European with the long coats, are they allowed to wear the short jackets? So I think, if I recall correctly, Rav Moshe has a very strange svara to be matter the idea. He says, Enochinami, the original Jews who switched over to modern styles, they were in violation of Chukos HaGoyim. They were doing it to copy the non-Jews that surrounded them. So he says, but you and I, who were the second generation coming into the mass influx of Jews into America, we're not doing it to copy the non-Jews. We went to shul, and that's what everybody was wearing. So that's what we want to wear also. So he said. So he says. Really, it's almost a case of chatei kedesh yizke chavercha, that they did the sin, but now that they did it, it's already mutter for us to also wear the the non-Jewish styles. All right, it's a shvera vort, but l'maisa, that's the heter that Rav Moshe goes with. But I don't want to get involved in this topic. But l'maisa, that's the heter that they say for wearing a tie. That's the heter that they say for chassidim ad hayom hazeh, don't wear ties. I think for this reason, that they hold it's chukas hagoyim. It's not a malbush that in any way accomplishes anything. It's 100% for decorative purposes. And you're doing it because you saw the Madernish guy wearing a tie, so you also want to wear a tie. So they don't. No. So the yeshivish, the non-Hasidish world already in Europe, some of the Rosh Yeshiva wearing ties, and certainly in America, all the Litvisher Rosh Yeshiva in Israel, they all wear ties. But the Hasidim stayed away from the ties. They didn't. They weren't interested in wearing ties. Okay, whatever. L'maisa, this is a chukas hagoyim. It's a very broad and interesting topic. But L'maisa, so he wants to. So this is Mistama, the second category of chukas hagoyim of minhagi pritzus. He thinks eating like a chaya, eating like a chazer. That's considered chukas hagoyim. So that's the azara for chukas hagoyim in the Torah.
What does the azara come from? Maybe still eat a
chazer? Oh yeah, lo seil chuba chukas hagoyim. It says it like three or four times in the Torah. Right? And it's a, what?
Why is he doing
it? Right. So what is Lo Sochal Adam talking about? We'll get to that in 1 second. Also, just in terms of the Yad Ramah. So we saw the Yad Ramah. He speaks at length about the Isser of Geneva. He says that there's no reason to assume that this Isser of Geneva is any different than any other Isser of Geneva. Right? The Yad Ramah says that just like it's usher to steal from anybody, it's also usher to steal from your parents. Right? So therefore, when the Torah says lo sigzo, I think he quotes the Lashon lo sigzo, right? It doesn't say lo signovu, he says lo sigzo, I think. I don't remember. If you get a chance to look inside, you check to see which one he actually quotes. But he says the Torah says lo sigzo, so therefore, we know you're not allowed to steal, and that's the azhara that you're going to get the malchus for when it comes to stealing from your parents and using the money to buy the food that you engorge yourself in. Okay, so the question really is, like we said yesterday, the question is, so why do they avoid the drush of the Gemara? The Rambam simply going with what the Gemara actually says, whereas these Rishonim seem to not care about the Gemara. So why don't they care? The fact that the Gemara says that the Azhara for Ben Saramora is Lo Sochal Al Adam. It's pretty pashut. So why do they seem to avoid this entire issue? So I mentioned I went on Hebrew Books in my room. I went on HebrewBooks.org. They do not have a copy of this sefer. I have no idea. I was actually, when I was driving back to civilization yesterday, I passed by a sign that HebrewBooks.org took out a huge billboard in the Liberty Woodburn area, and it says 5,000 Sfarim at your fingertips or something like that. That's at HebrewBooks.org. So I was like, all right, a stub of 5,000 Sfarim. They'll have Rav Arile Pomeranchik's 3 Sfarim on there, you know, but they didn't have any of them. So if they're going to have something, it'll be the Amic Bracha. The Amic Bracha everybody learns. You know, just to for my own intellectual curiosity, I Googled his name right afterwards, and I came up with tons of, you know, Divrei Torah sites or Ask the Rabbi sites quoting stuff from the Amic Bracha. I saw one site that quoted something from his Sefer on Zeroim called Torah Zeroim. Nobody quoted anything from the Ega Aryeh, but Lamaisa, it's also Choshev HaSefer. He was a big Lamdan. He was a Talmud of the Brisker Rav. He died, I think, as a fairly young man. But he writes in a very brisker style. And his name was Rav Aryeh Leib Pomeranchik. He was one of the big Talmudim of the Brisker Rav. So he has, as far as I know, 3 very wonderful Sfarim. So this one is from the Sefer Yega Aryeh, where he writes a very simple teretz. He doesn't say anything fancy. The second part of his teretz I'm not so into, but the first part, he basically writes, he says, of course, when it comes to the misa of a ben sora more, so that you're going to learn from Lo Sochlu Al Adam. Because the ikar mashmos of the Gemara is what? What's Lo Sochlu Al Adam mean? Don't eat an achila, which is going to cause you to be killed or cause us to kill you. Right, there's Sammy Goldsmith showed me this morning that there's a Rashash who changes the Lashon of Rashi a little bit between like you're going to get killed versus we're going to kill you. I don't know what the nafkamina is between it, but Lamaisa, it means don't eat an achila, don't eat an achila that's going to cause you to be killed by Beis Din. So that is for the Misa. That's the Azara for the Misa. That's not the Azara for the Malkus. Right? So we're left sort of looking around, try to find out, where's the Azara for the Malkus? So the Rishonim say, okay, let's look. We have the, what Isurim is the guy violating? So the Ramah says he's violating the Isur of Geneva. And the Urayim says he's violating the Isur of Chukas HaGoyim. Okay, so they found other Isurim that they were dafka violating, but losochlu al adam is only talking about the achila shnia, not the achila rishona. The achila rishona is not gorem death. The achila rishona is gorem malchus. So that's not implied in the pasuk losochlu al adam. Yeah.
From the achila rishona, if you're like 6 hours, I don't understand why you just don't pay back, why you're malchus.
Oh, so that's the gzeirus hakasuv, that in this particular case you're getting malchus in place of where you would normally get tashlum. Right, that's the chiddush of Ben Sora Mora, that the Torah spells out that here Hidafka gets Yisurin, Hidafka gets punishment as opposed to normal, a Ganavim would pay Kefil or whatever. Right. So that's the simple, basic teretz. He wants to also be Medaikus from the Lashon of the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos, but I would not agree to that statement, as I'll try to explain shortly. Okay, so that's the machlokas rishonim we have in terms of what is the azhara for ben saramara. So the question then becomes, is there a chiluk between the malchus and the misa? Is there a chiluk between the malchus and the misa? Or is it one lengthy process that can't be split up? Okay, that's the next...
Well, what does that mean, if there is a
chiluk? Well, we'll explain it. The machlokas between the minchas chinuch and the yersameach. Right, so let me explain it, and then I think we'll be able to tie it together a little bit. So we saw the chinuch in Simon Reish Mem Ches, in the mitzvah Reish Mem Ches, where he writes that he writes the Lashon, I think, that the din zeh noig be'eretz Yisrael bilvad de'ein dan and din inefashis elisham. I think that's the Lashon of the Sefer HaChinuch as I recorded it, that this is only in Eretz Yisrael because we are not dan din inefashis. In Chutzlaretz, the Minchas Chinuch is quick to point out that that's lav dafka. We are dan dinei nefashos outside of Eretz Yisrael. However, the klal is that you cannot have a beis din of chaf gimel be dan dinei nefashos unless the Sanhedrin is sitting in the lishchas agazis, right? If the Sanhedrin is sitting in the lishchas agazis, right? So then even in chutz laaretz you can have a beis din of 23 be dan dinei nefashos. But if there's no Sanhedrin sitting in Lishchas HaGazes, then you can't have a Beis Din even in Eretz Yisrael. Even a 10-second walk outside of the Beis HaMikdash, they still can't be Dan Dinei Nefashos. The central office of justice in the... what?
Can a Sanhedrin that's not Yoshev Lishchas HaGazes be Dan Dinei Nefashos?
No, they may not. They may not. Right, so that's the thing. So what's the... The basic yesod here... is that there's a special siyata d'shmaya that comes from the presence of the Shechina when it comes to chidushei Torah, when it comes to piskei halacha, when it comes to certainly piskei beis din, and 100% more so when it comes to dinei nefashos. We're never going to paskin on dinei nefashos unless we have all of the siyata d'shmaya that we possibly can get. I'm not just saying this as a musar vart, by the way. This is not musar. This is actually la halacha. Right, yeah?
Why should it make a difference for a beis din of 23 if the Sanhedrin is Yoshev Lishkal HaGazis? Because in the end of the day, they're the ones that are being done, not the Sanhedrin.
Right. So the answer to that is basically that the Sanhedrin, I'll give you the... I don't want to get too machshava... oriented, but basically, there's a very famous Gemara at the end of Sota. There's a couple of listings of after so and so died, then what happened? Then there was no longer any greatness in this particular area, right? The most famous is the last one, right? Which says that after Rebbe died, there was no longer any anava in the world. There was no level of anava. But for example, when it says that when Rabbi Gamliel, that's also Gemara in Megillah. The Gemara Megillah says that they used to learn Torah standing up, right? You remember that? Everybody see this Gemara? Used to learn Torah standing up, but then when Rabban Gamliel died, then Yorda Choli Le'olam, And the world sort of got this illness, and they didn't have the strength to stand up anymore when they learned Torah. So now we learn Torah while we sit down. Right? That's the klal. That's an important yesod that Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach used to point out, that it says, we really, Torah is meant to be studied while standing. Okay, so we, since the days of Rabbi Gamliel, we haven't been able to stand while we learn Torah, but certainly to lie back and like you're like you're relaxing in a living room, that should not be the case. We sit because we have to sit, you know, but we don't have to lie down, right? So that we're not holding there yet. So it's important to show the proper Kavodat Torah while learning. But nevertheless, it says after Rabban Gamliel died, who was the paradigm of Kavodat Torah, and the Gemara says that's what the popular phrase was, that Mishemes Rabban Gamliel, butla Kavodat Torah. After Rabban Gamliel died, there no longer was any Kavodat Torah. And after Rebbe died, there was no longer any Anova. I mean, there's plenty of humble people. There are plenty of people who have a great deal of Kavodat Torah. It's not the same. When the world loses the paradigm of Kavodat Torah, which was Rabban Gamliel, so when we don't have that paradigmatic figure to look up to, we don't produce the same level for ourselves. So too, when we don't have that paradigm of humility in Rebbe to look up to, so we don't have that ability to become great humble people ourselves. We can still do our best, but we lose out. I don't know, an Israeli guy once told me the reason he was trying to explain to me when I was in KBY, like why the Israelis all stunk at basketball. And he said, because you guys, you watch the NBA and you see the Gedolim, you see Jordan and Bird and Magic and, you know, all the people who we grew up on, or I grew up on, you know, and you aspire to be like them. We see Maccabi Tel Aviv, we see the Ketanim. So we don't have that model of greatness. And Lemaisa, you could argue that he's actually right based on these Gemaras, that when you don't have the paradigm of greatness to look up to, you yourself don't become as great. So Lemaisa, when the Sanhedrin is not sitting in Lishchas Hagazis, we don't find really, because all of the Batei Dinim of Klal Yisrael are really shluchim of the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin is really the one who gives clout to every other Beis Din in Klal Yisrael, because every Beis Din of Chaf Gimel is called like a mini Sanhedrin. They're like representing the Sanhedrin that exists in the Lishchas Hagazis. You know, like just like every branch of government represents, you know, the, you know, if you have an emissary from the governor, so he represents the government of the, I don't remember the names of the branches anymore, but he represents whatever branch of government he represents, but he gets his clout from the United States Constitution. You know, if somebody would rip up the Constitution, then the governor wouldn't mean anything, and certainly the representative of the governor wouldn't mean anything, and it just would lose all of its chashivas. But getting back to this, so when the Sanhedrin was parked in the Beis Hamikdash, being dan dinei nefashos themselves and deciding on major cases, so then the rest of Klal Yisrael was able to judge dinei nefashos. It's important yesod. There's a very big chiddush of the Netziv. The Netziv writes that that if you look in the Navi and you look in the Midrashim, so he says Yoshiyahu HaMelech was gonez the Aron Kodesh when? Well, Yoshiyahu HaMelech wasn't the king when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Who was the king when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed? Sidkiyahu, right? He wasn't. Yoshiyahu was a few kings before him. So it was, I think, 50 years before the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. He hid the Aron. So what's pshat? So I don't remember how much of this is the Netziv and how much of this is based on Chazal. But the Netziv basically writes that Yoshiyahu had a vision, Baruch HaKodesh, that the Beis HaMikdash was going to be destroyed. There was already Gzeir from the times of Menashe that the Beis HaMikdash was going to be destroyed. Yoshiyahu almost succeeded at averting that Gzeira by having this massive tshuva movement. But he still failed in his mission. He overrated a little bit the level of tshuva that the Bnei Yisrael had done. But nevertheless, he saw Baruch HaKodesh, that there was going to be a time that the Beis HaMikdash was going to be destroyed, and the Sanhedrin was going to have to pasken shailas without the aid of the presence of the Shekhinah. So what he did was is he hid the Aron Kodesh in the catacombs underneath the Beis HaMikdash, so that the Aron Kodesh would be nearby, so they could get some Siyata Dishmaya from it, but it wouldn't be the full measure of Siyata Dishmaya. He was sort of weaning the Sanhedrin off of the Siyata Dishmaya of the presence of the Shekhinah that existed over there. And in that way, we would sort of be more used to it, so we would be able to continue to achieve Torah greatness even when the Sanhedrin was not sitting in Lishchas Hagazus, and we'd still be able to come to emistic Piskei Halacha even without the presence of the Aron. But Lamaisa, even during the second Beis HaMikdash, since the Aron was parked somewhere near the Beis HaMikdash, so they still received some Siyata Dishmaya from the presence of the Shekhinah that was there, even though it wasn't nearly as great as during the first Beis HaMikdash. So that's the famous Chiddush of the Netziv on this area. But it's all based on the same Yisod. Okay, that's a side point. But the Minchas Chinuch says that really it has nothing to do with Eretz Yisrael proper. So he says, so what is he talking about? So the additional point of the Minchas Chinuch is that even after the Sanhedrin was Nigle, even after the Sanhedrin went, right, the Gemaras have lists of where the Sanhedrin went from place to place, and even after the Sanhedrin went into Golus and they kicked themselves out of the Beis HaMikdash and they went somewhere else, and they went somewhere else, after that, nevertheless, any Beis Din of people who have Smicha are still able to give Malkus. Right? Any Beis Din that has Smicha can give Malkus. Right? When did this become halacha l'maisa within the last 500 years? Anybody know? So there was a movement in Tzfas in the mid-1500s to try to restart the smicha based on the Rambam and the Pirushim Mishnayos. There was a movement that the Rambam shita is that smicha should be, best case scenario, ish mi pi ish mi Moshe Rabbeinu. But technically, you could give smicha, real, now we call smicha today. That's a piece of paper, at best. I'm saying, one of my friends made a joke when the whole controversy with the women's smicha started. So he said, why? Because one of the things that they said is they want to give the women a real, you know, postgraduate type degree that they could have, that when they go to teach Torah, they should have a chashev a smicha so that they'll be able to stand up, you know, and be proud that they have this degree. So the joke is that they're standing up next to all the rabbanim who don't have smicha. So all the mechanchim who don't have smicha, but we call them rabbi. So the women will have smicha and the men won't have smicha. So that's just the metzias. But lemaisa, the smicha that we have nowadays is not smicha. That's a go heter hora, that technically your rebbe gives you rishus to paskin shailas. He gave you a fahar and a few things. But that's not smicha, yishmi pishmi Moshe Rabbeinu. That was real smicha that has, you know, ramifications. Certainly if you learn the whole first parak is talking about what do you need smuchim for, what cases can you be done, etc. So the Ram Sheet is if the vast majority of the Chachmei Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael will agree to give someone smicha, then you can actually restart the smicha. So they tried. They had a movement to give smicha to certain great rabbanim. At that time, in the early to mid-1500s, most of the greatest rabbanim in the world were concentrated in Tzfas. They had the great Mahari Bei Rav, who was the Rebbe of the Beis Yosef himself, the Arizal, the Alshich, the Rav Shlomo Alkabitz, the author of the Lechadodi and the Manas Halevi. There were many, many great rabbanim. The Rav Moshe Cordoviro, many great, great Poskim and Mekubalim, and both were found in the city of Tzfas at the time, and they actually convened a Beis Din and they gave smicha to the Mari Bei Rav. I think they gave to the Alshich, they gave to Rabbi Yosef Karo. So some of them did actually get smicha. So why did? Who cares? No one cares. But why did they want to give smicha? Anybody know?
They want to give Malkus to.
Yeah. Because a lot of those rabbanim got there because of the Spanish Inquisition. They fled from Christians from the Spanish Inquisition. A lot of them, a lot of people, the Balabatim, had pretended to accept Christianity until such a time that they were able to flee the country. And we know that that's Yehoreg Val Yavor, and they felt that they worshipped Vodazara. And many people felt that they had violated various averos for which they were chayv karis. And the Gemara in the third parak of Makkah says that if you get Malkus in this world, you can be potter from Karis. So they wanted very badly to give smicha to a Beis Din so that they could give them Malkus. Okay, just, that's a historical point. It never caught on. The Rabbanim of Yerushalayim complained, how come you didn't consult us? And they basically wrote back them, because you're not anybody. And they're like, no, because they said, like, you need, they said, they felt like, don't you need the haskama of the Rove Gedolei Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael? And they're like, we have it. So, I don't know. The I don't know. It could be. It could be. We'll see.
So that's a story that when at the beginning of Israel, somebody went to Ben Gurion and he asked him if they wanted to make a Sanhedrin.
Right.
And he says, and then you're in your Tanakh. And so he says, okay, you can find people that know this and this. Where are you going to find somebody that's not a Rodei Fetzah?
Where are you going to find somebody?
It's not Rodei Fetzah.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, that's a problem. Okay. Okay, so Lamaisa, the Minchas Chinuch Shita is that if you wanted to give Malkus, you can give Malkus anytime somebody has Smicha. So practically that's not so, but it could technically be true. Could technically be true. So then the Chiddush in the Minchas Chinuch is that even Bizman Hazeh, if you would ever have a Ben Sora More, you would be able to give him the Malkus. You wouldn't obviously be able to give him the Misa because we don't have the Sanhedrin sitting in Lishchas Hagazis, but you'd be able to give him the Malkus. Clear? So that's the Minchas Chinuch's Chiddush. So the Arsameach wants to disagree with that, and he says no. He says you can never be mechalek between the Misa and the Malkus because they both come from the pasuk of Lo Sochlu Al Adam. So therefore, when the guy eats the Achila Rishona, so if he's never going to get Misa, so then it's not technically Lo Sochlu Al Adam. He's not going to be Chayav Malkus anyway. And therefore, we see, and he writes the same thing with Motzi Shemra. Right? We have the Gzeira Shava between Motzi Shemra, a three-way Gzeira Shava. Do you guys pick up on that three-way Gzeira Shava? Right? What are they, Lushin? Where does it, how does it work exactly?
Ben,
and Bahaya and Bin Haka Sarosha. That's. Right. And then the Ben Leben. Wait, so the Yisru is by Motzi Shemra also. Is that true? So the Yisru is by us in Ben Sora Mora, then it's also by Motzi Shemra, and then the Ben is also by Motzi Shemra to Vahayim Ben Hakos Arosh. So we see that by Motzi Shemra, the first step is you get Malkus, and also by Ben Sora Mora, the first step is you get Malkus. So the Rosh Hashanah says, just like by Motzi Shemra, there wouldn't be any Malkus, because it's not going to come to ever killing the guy. So there wouldn't be Malkus here as well, because it's not going to come to ever kill the guy. So that's the Machlokas Achronim that we have. Could you get Malkus on Ben Sora Mora Bizman Hazeh for the Achila Rishon?
So the,
right, so that's what I was going to say, just to tie it together. So what do we see? We have a Machlokas Rishonim that really becomes a Machlokas Achronim. I don't know that the Minchas Chinuch would definitely agree to this, but just looking at the concepts, without definitely putting names to our ways of looking at it, but just push it. Looking at the concepts, what do we have? We have a machlokas rishonim. What is the makor for the malkus in these situations? If you hold like the Urayim, that chukas agoyim is the makor, okay, chukas agoyim, you violated a separate lav, which granted is a chelik, it's an azhara of Ben Sora Mora, but you were technically violating chukas agoyim. Even if a guy off the street would do the same thing, you might give him malkus also. I'm not so posh, but I'm saying, let's say you did, you know, but at least you would understand why the guy might be getting malkus. Or so too, when it comes to Geneva, you might be giving the guy malkus as well, right? So we can say that when it's coming from a separate lav, when it's coming from an azhara unrelated to Ben Sora Mora, so who cares if it's ever going to be Bali de Misa? It's a separate din Malkus. Mashenkin, according to the Rambam, that it's all coming from Lo Sochlu Al Adam, so then you're not going to have a case where you're going to split up the Misa and the Malkus. It's all one package. It's a two-step package. Step one is you're giving Malkus as a segue to the possibility of giving Misa. And step two is to give the actual Misa. So if you're never going to accomplish step two, you don't need. There's no need and there's no reality of step one. And thus the Rambam would seemingly, you know, the Or Sameach, who's basing himself on the Rambam, the Or Sameach pretty much spells it out like that. He says, since it's all based on the Sochlu al Adam, why would you ever say that you could split up the Misa and the Malkus? It has to be Achila that can be Bali de Dam. It has to be something which can cause you to get killed. And thus, what it ends up being is that you could actually say that the Machlokis between the Minchas Chinuch and the Or Sameach is based on whether or not we say that a lav shebechlolos is a good enough azhara when the onesh is beferish bekura, right? I know I'm purposely being annoying. What did I mean by that? It's like a law of detachment. I think if I remember my logic terms, right? Because what was the whole thing? We said the Rambam is of the opinion that you can use a lav shebechlolos to give malchus if the malchus is beferish bekura, right? So then he uses lo sochlo al adam to tell you get malchus for the achil rishon. It could be that the whole nekudas hamachlokas between the Rambam and the Yireim and the Adrama is, can you use a lav shebechlolos to tell you get malchus or do you need to come on to another lav? They say the Rambam says, what's the azhara to Ben Sora Mora? It says it in the Gemara. Lo sochlo al adam. They say, what are you talking about? It doesn't say that in the Gemara. It bedafka says the opposite of you in the Gemara. It says, that's a lav shebechlolos and ain't looking olav. So how could you tell me the Malkus comes from something that Gemara says you don't get Malkus? The Rambam says, oh, if we would only have had that law, saying a chinam, you wouldn't get Malkus. But then it says, v'Yisrael, so you do get Malkus. So that's my klal, the Rambam says, that when there's a law shebechlolos, followed by a beferish shepasik, so the law shebechlolos is good enough as an azhara. We don't apply the rule of Einon Shanel and Kein Mazhir. So step two, I'm sorry, you had a kasha on that? No, there's one Isser which can be manifest in a different ways. Here, literally, to compare Ben Sora More to eating Kutchin before the Zrika Saddam, there it's not related in any way. There's one thing, copying Goyim. There's, let's say, five ways to copy Goyim. You know, I'm saying like that's different. I'm saying there's like many ways you can steal, but there's not, that doesn't make it a lav shebechlolos. The Isser is stealing. You know? So for step one, you could say that the whole thing is, do you hold of the Rambam's vort of lav shebechlolos counting as a valid azhara? So if you hold of the Rambam's vort counting as a valid azhara, even though it's a lav shebechlolos, so then you can say that lo sochlo al adam is the azhara for even the achila rishona. And if you say that lo sochlo al adam is the azhara for the achila rishona, then ben sora mora becomes a two-step package. The Malkus and the Misa are both based in the Yisod of Lo Sochlo al Adam, and the Malkus is step one to the eventual Misa. And thus, you would hold that Bizman Azeh, you can't give the Malkus, even if you have a Beis Din with Smicha, Kolzman, that the Sanhedrin is not sitting in the Lishkas HaGazis, because since you can't give the Misa, you don't even give step one which of the Misa, which is the Malkus. That's the Rambam. The other Rishonim say, no, we're not going to use a Lav Shebechlolos to teach us the Azhara for the Malkus of Ben Sora More. We're going to use a different Lav. So Memela, they don't hold of the Rambam's Chiddush in Lav Shebechlolos, and therefore they use a different Lav. Therefore, we understand that the Malkus and the Misa are not coming from the same place, and therefore they might hold like the Minchas Chinuch Chiddush, that even though you can't give the Misa, you can still give the Malkus, because they're two separate sides, granted, of the same coin, but they're two separate sides. Right? It's not step one and then step two. It's phase one of the Ben Sora Mora process based on this Isser, and phase two of the Ben Sora Mora process based on something else. So you could, Bizman Azeh, give Malkus on phase one of Ben Sora Mora. So that's what I meant when I said, you know, can you give Malkus, Bizman Azeh, to a Ben Sora Mora on the Achil Rishona? Well, that depends what you hold, whether or not Lav Shebechlolos is a valid Azhara when the other part is Beferish in the Kra. Right? So that's what I meant by law of detachment. Was that true? Is that the law of detachment? No, we don't know. Okay, so we're going to say a yes, it is. Anyway, so as long as nobody can say otherwise, I'm going to say yes it is. Okay, but this is just a good example of how, you know, obviously you could isolate every svara in and of itself, but you have to see things from a global picture as well. In other words, this seemingly, who cares about lav shebechlolos, like, doesn't sound even remotely interesting, but people care about getting malchus, right? So you can say that, can you give malchus bisman hazeh to the phase one ben saramora? Is halacha lemaisa totally on how you understand the yisod of lav shebechlolos? And you can even take, if you hold of my explanation of the Rambam's chiddush, then you can say further that it's actually totally on what is the svara behind Ein Onshin Elim Kein Masirin. If you hold that it's all in order that there should be clarity for the individual, so then you can say that that's the pshat in the Rambam's Chiddush, right? So it could be that the whole Machlokas Rishonim is based on is Ein Onshin Elim Kein Masirin because it needs to be clear enough to the individual and therefore Lav Shebechlolos doesn't suffice, but maybe it would suffice in other cases. All right, you get the point. All right, I don't want to beat a dead horse more than is necessary. Yes? Yeah, anybody? Kasha on that?
So, oh,
yeah.
If you're sober, that you could that you could take an azar from Masha Bechalot if you have an omash, so then you say so that there'd be no makos.
Correct.
And if you'd say otherwise, you'd have to look somewhere else, and it end up being two separate things. And
so it's possible there could be. Right. Okay, good. One thing that was brought to my attention a couple of minutes ago. What time is it? Anyone have the time?
30.
Okay, we got time, we have time. Okay, one thing that was brought to my attention a few minutes ago was the Rambam, a couple of halachas earlier in Perek Zion. Let me see if I can find it. Perek Zion, halacha Zion. At the end there, there's a very difficult line in the Rambam where it says that, this is what you guys, no, you mentioned this to me at the end. Yeah? All right. You thought it was not a difficult part in the Rambam?
If I understood what he said correctly, if I'm not sure I understood that.
All right, so let me just read the Rambam, and then you'll tell me what you think. Okay, so the Rambam in Perek Zayin Halacha Zayin said at the end of various random halachas various halachas about Ben Saramora, he says, "V'achar shemekablen edusan after the this is after the achila shnir." Right, he steals again and he eats again. So then they get the edus from the parents, or from who? No, they don't get the edus from the parents. They get the edus from the people who saw him do it, right? So, so after that, what do? Bodkin also shemahikif haseir is kol agid. Maybe he was mamale zakana tachton. Maybe he fully grew in, and therefore he would be past the time that you could be a ben soramore. Either or. If he was not makiv zakana tachton, or he didn't actually finish the 3 months, gomrin dino kider kol aruge bezin v'soklin also. Then he gets skill. All right, that's a separate point. So the kasha, the kesef mishnah asks is, why don't we check him the first time? So what do you guys want to be medayik? That, yeah, I'm sorry.
By default, you have to check in the first time, because if you want to know the shlosha chadashim, you have to know when it started.
Correct. No, so let's assume they checked him; they knew he was a gadol 3 months ago. But maybe from the time that he stole and did the achila rishona till the time that he got the malchus, maybe after 13 years and 1 day already he was mamale zakana tachta. Maybe before he gets the malchus, you should check. So that's the kesef mishnah's kasha. He doesn't know why he doesn't check. And the Lechem Mishnah wants to say that, no, when it comes to the Malkus, we're somech on the Chazakah. The Chazakah is that until 3 months, you're not Mamali Zakan Atachtam. Right? Based on the whole difficult understanding that the Gemara has here about the Katan Eino Moli. Did you guys see the Gemara yet? In the Hemshech? So the Gemara says that when you're a Katan, you're Eino Molid, but when you're a Gadol, you can be Molid, but so it takes 3 months until it's Hukar Ubra, and therefore that's where we get the 3 months from. So for 3 months, we assume that he's maybe Shtei Saras, but he wasn't Mamali Zakan Atachta. Right? So that's where we get it. So we're somich on the chazaka that he was not Mamali Zakan Atachta, so we don't check him before we give him the Malkis, but when it comes to the Misa, we're not going to be somich on the chazaka. That's Pashut. Right? So then he says, but I don't know where the Rambam got this from. So that's the Lechem Mishnah's approach. But what the Lechem Mishnah doesn't say is that it's two separate inyanim. It doesn't say that, well, since the Malkus, is no big deal, or it's a different iser, so we're not going to check it. But and it's not tully on mamali zaken atachton. It definitely is tully on it. There's no question. I don't think anybody would disagree. Say that it's still, no matter how you slice it, it's still part of the mensura mora process. And the mensura mora process is only within that time period, right? So I don't think anybody would be medayik from the Rambam that it's really two separate chiyuvim, and that the Rambam is agreeing that really one the malchus comes from one place and the misa comes from something else. Dafka, because they don't check him. The real, but the kasha still stands. Why don't you check him? Okay, so a lot of achronim answer this kasha. Yeah.
I mean, is it possible that maybe Gadol forgot machlok for?
No, he would do tashlumin. He would pay.
No, but for the goodness eating.
Right, maybe, but Lemaisa, it seems that the Malkus from here, at least the way the Or Sameach understands it, Malkus from here might be coming from the act of Geneva that led to the act of eating. Whereas if he was already Mamali Zakon Hatachton, he would just pay Kefil to his parents. So the Or Sameach has a teretz here. I don't want to get too involved in it, but you check it out. The basic yisod of what he says is that Mammon and Malkus is interchangeable. Mammon and Malkus is interchangeable. Misa and Mammon is not interchangeable. If you steal from your parents, normally if you were not a Ben Sora Mora, or if you were over 13 and 3 months, what would you do? You would pay Kefil. And therefore, we find many times in the Gemara where Misa, Mammon and Malkus can be flipped for one another. And here, the malchus that he gets when he is a ben sora mora is in place of the mammon he would have to pay when he's not a ben sora mora. So therefore, what?
Did people swap
them
hold of that?
No. Mammon can't take care of karis.
Then what?
Malchus does take care of karis. That's what the Gemara says.
So malchus
is not mammon. But Lemaisa, in terms of punishments, often one does substitute for the other when it's mandated as such by the Torah. Doesn't mean that, for example, let's say you, I don't know, that's already an additional stretch. We're not willing to go there, I don't think. But Lemaisa, so the Or Sameach says that we would compare this. There's two basic comparisons you can make when you're talking about a Ben Sora Mora who did the Avera before he was 3 months and then came to Bezin after 3 months. He says you can compare it to, let's say, a Gershon is Geyer. Let's say somebody's Baal al Bas Yisrael, and then he's in his Geyer. So there the Gemara says, Ishtani Dina, he gets a different type of Misa, because a Goy would get one type of Misa, and a Ger would get a different type of Misa. Or a case that the Gemara has earlier than that, of Sarcha Ubesof Bagra. Let's say when she's a Nara, she commits an act of adultery, so she's chayev skila. But if she would have been a bogeris when she committed the act of adultery, then she was chayev chenek. So if she becomes a bogeris in between, there the Gemara says, for whatever reason, that she gets the same onish. She gets skila. So the Or Sameach wants to say, the ben sora mora who steals the first time and eats is comparable not to the gershon is geyer, because he's not a brand new metzias. Rather, he's compared to the Nara Hamurasa of Sorcha of Sof Bagra, that she became a Bogeris in the interim, where she gets the original punishment. So too, since in reality he's getting the same punishment in some way, because Misa and, excuse me, I keep saying that, Mammon and Malkus are two sides of the same coin, So he's considered like the Nara Marasa of Sofer Sorcha Uv Sof Bagra, not like the Gershon is Geyer. So even if he would have been Mamali Zakan Atachton, he would still get the Malkus and he wouldn't pay the money. Mashen came the case of the second eating, where it's Misa or Mammon. So there we never find that Misa and Mammon are interchangeable in any way. So basically, if he's not Chayev Misa, it's Ki'ilu, he's getting something completely unrelated. And there he's much more Shaykh to the case of Gershon is Geyer, and that's why we have to check him, because we would not be doing the job if we just gave him the Misa, even if after Mamali Zakan Atachtan. That's not in any way, shape, or form appropriate. So in other words, Malkus is somewhat appropriate for someone who's Chayev Mammon, but Misa is never appropriate for someone who's Chayev Mammon, and therefore I assume you could be mitzdarif that to what the Lecha Mishnah is saying. And therefore, in the case of, you can rely on the chazaka because it's quite possible that it wouldn't even matter if it was mali zaken atachton, whereas in the other case, it matters a lot. Right? Okay, whatever. If you got that, good. If not, don't kill you. You know, it's not the biggest deal. Okay. Let's just start the... Oh, we don't really have time. All right, let me just throw out a couple of ideas. I wanted to get to this today. Throw out a couple of ideas about Ben Soramora Nidon al Shem Sofo. So we had the Gemara here saying that, oh, when he's a Katan, he's not Nasa Ben Soramora. So the Gemara says, okay, Shkayach, why would I have thought a Katan could become a Ben Soramora? So what's the Gemara say? He's Nidon al Shem Sofo. So Nidon al Shem Sofo should mean that he should be allowed to be a Katan. And still, in the future, he will be Malasne Mesabrios, and therefore, he should be killed now. Kamash Malan, no. Kamash Malan, that he is not killed unless he is a Gadol at the time that he did these actions. Okay, so the question really becomes, what does it mean that he's Nidon al Shem Sofo? Is he Nidon al Shem Sofo or not? On one hand, you would say, yeah, that the din ben Soramora, he's Nidon al Shem Sofo, because what did he do now? He didn't do anything. A little stealing, a little eating, okay, so he's not going to win Tzaddik of the Year, but he's Chayv Misa, forget about it. So there you have to come on to Nidon al Shem Sofo. On the other hand, we have a lot of rayas that seem to indicate that he's Dafka killed for what he does now. This being Raya number one. You might have thought he's Nidon al Shem Sofo, so who cares what he does now? Kamash Malan, we do care what he does now. So Kamash Malan what? He's not Nidon al Shem Sofo, or he is? What's going on here? What? So you could say Xeris Akasa, but Lamaisa, how do we understand the actions that he's performing now? So just in terms of a couple of the Gemaras that hopefully you saw. So we saw the Gemara on Samach Gimel Med Aleph, right? We said, what's the Azhara? Right? Lo sochlu al hadam. Kasha is, why do I even need an Azhara? He's Nidon al Shem Sofo. Just say, it's a Chiddush Shechit Torah that the Torah in its Ruach HaKodesh says, this guy is going to be Melastim as Abrios. All rules should be canceled for Ben Sora Mora. What rule number one is, you don't get Misa for stealing and eating. We know that rule, right? So why don't we know the rule? Why do we care? Ain onchin elam kain masirin. Ain onchin elam kain overin alav the chayav and alam misa. Right? Why don't we say that rule? You don't get misa unless you do something for which you're chayav misa. So we don't seem to care about that particular rule. So why do we care about this? So we say nidon al shem sofo. Okay, that solves all the world's problems. But lemaisa. So what do we care if there's an azhara if he's nidon al shem sofo anyway? So that's problem number one with saying he's purely Nidon al Shem Sofo. Problem number two, the Gemara you saw on Peches Amud Beis says the parents can be mochel. Parents can be mochel on a future mass murderer or a future Michal Shabbos, whatever you want to say he does. Right? If he's Nidon al Shem Sofo, it should be completely out of the reshus of the parents to be mochel or not to be mochel. So we see a lot of diukim that seem to temper this yesod of Nidon al Shem Sofo a little bit. It's not so pashut that we should say the guy's Nidon al Shem Sofo when in reality, number one, we said you need an asara. Number two, over here you say you need that his maisim should be legitimate maisim and they should not be done when he's a katan, right? And number three, we saw that the parents have the right to be mochel. All three seem to indicate very strongly that he's not Nidon al Shem Sofo, he's Nidon on what he does right here and now. Okay, so that's what I want to work on a little bit tomorrow to discuss what exactly it means Ben Soramor and Nidon al Shem Sofo versus is he Nidon for what he does now. All right, everybody have a good day.